You're listening to Peak to Pit, Allie Peak, TJ Pittinger, bringing you week 10. Is it really week 10 of the college football season, or is it week 9?
It's week 10. You guys are almost put out of your misery. You're close.
I'm never put out of my misery when football season is not going on. I will be miserable and watch college football before I'd rather be miserable and not.
How was your weekend? What did you do this weekend?
I hung out with you.
It was a fun weekend.
It was. It was a good weekend.
Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, we finally took a break, but it was a good weekend.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. Friday night, you came to my trunk or treat, which was fun and successful. So I was super excited about that. And then Saturday, we went over to your house, which there was a point in time where we all looked at each other and we were like, we are so outnumbered, because between the two of us, there are 7 children who are, you know,
it's a lot of children. And then Eric and I have to take care of you guys too. So like it just,
yeah,
it just is really tough. But yeah,
so prayers up. It was fun though. And our kids are cute together. And so I definitely enjoy them. That watching them was a little bit more fun than watching our game. But what are you going to do?
So let's do this first. Let's give a shout out first. We'll talk about both games. Talk a little recruiting, because you were one to bring some recruiting up last week.
Sure.
So follow up on it.
We can do that.
Because we certainly would have if things went the other way. So we want to make sure that we do that. And then we'll talk about this weekend's games and the last, what will it be? Last little third of the season here with 4 games to go for both teams. Before we do that, I'll give an early shout out today to Greg Brunt and Brunt Insurance, 954-589-2204. You can also hit them up at bruntinsurance.com. But we would certainly recommend that you give Greg a call, talk some college football with him. Great guy, huge Gator fan. 954-589-2204. If you need any kind of insurance, home, auto, car, RV, boat, moped, scooter, bicycle, whatever you got, whatever has wheels and needs to be insured, from Tallahassee to the Keys, Greg will get you taken care of. Again, bruntinsurance.com or 954-589-2204. Appreciate Greg and his support. What do you want to start with?
Dealer's choice. All right, let's start recruiting since that happened chronologically.
Okay, we'll go with
that. We'll go latest to newest. So, Cormani McClain picked Miami on Thursday night. He had been crystal balled to Florida. I think the staff thought they were getting him. Any beat writers that I've talked to, recruiting experts, thought that he was coming to Florida. His own coaching staff thought he was coming to Florida. And really the consensus was that he was picking between Florida and Alabama, that Miami had kind of distanced himself from there. So I think he kind of, you know, surprised everybody when he picked Miami. And, you know, if you want to go and play in front of 11,000 fans and, you know, barely make a bowl game or not, I don't really know what to say about that. I don't know that I think it's the best life choice, but here we are.
Seemed like NIL probably played a factor there.
I think so.
These kids know kind of what they're saying. It was interesting to hear his comments afterward. He was asked when he kind of locked in with Miami, and he said he had been locked in for a couple of months. And so I don't know if that was just kind of a tactic to there's a couple of thoughts, right? Like, was it maybe a tactic to lead some other teams on?
That happens in recruiting, right? There's a lot of times that teams ask players to keep their commitment quiet, or that they're not going to kind of go public with the love. So could that have happened? Absolutely.
There's also times where recruiting experts and coaches and just a lot of fans and everything like try to read too deeply into the tea leaves and just get it wrong.
Sure. Like just, oh, he changed his picture and it had a blue background. Yeah, so that must be a sign or whatever.
He said XYZ. He did this. He did that. And all the while, you know.
He definitely played this one close to the vest, because, I think that are there times people are crystal balled wrong? Absolutely. Are there, this was the most caught off guard that any of the people that I talk to on a regular basis that are pretty heavily involved in recruiting have been in a while. So either he's not being truthful about having been dialed in with them for the last couple of months, or he played it really close to the vest. And either one of those things is fine. Like, that's his prerogative. This is his future. And I think that that's a really important thing to remember about recruits. I mean, we can sit here and I can joke about, like, you're going to go play in front of 11,000 fans. Not the life choice I would have made. But in reality, it's his life choice, right? And so these are high school kids that are deciding the biggest decision that they've ever made up to that point in their life. And it will impact not just the next 3 or 4, but potentially the next 40, 50 years of their lives. It's a huge decision. And everybody gets to make whatever one they want to. I don't love how I feel like NIL plays a role so heavily in this. I think that it's good to make what you're worth. I think that that's different, though, than paying high school kids before they've performed. And I think that that's really what NIL has turned into, more so than rewarding those once they have proven themselves on the field, the college field. I did hear a rumor, and this is pure rumor, but that it something like $6 million over guaranteed $6 million for 3 years or something was a number that was thrown out by Miami, and that Florida and Alabama actually both were like, and I don't know if that's true or not, but it also does kind of concern me for people committing to Miami when it seems like pretty much all their NIL money comes from one place. That seems like a risky proposition in my mind too, because if the majority of money is coming from one person, if that person decides they don't love the direction of the program, or they don't like the coach anymore, or whatever else, that money could dry up. And that seems risky just on its own to me.
So, big picture, Florida still has a pretty good class going.
This is still probably the best DB class that Florida's ever signed.
So overall class right now sits at number 9, which ironically was Mullen's highest class too. Florida has time, right? Yeah. Signing days in six weeks. Sure. So they can certainly move up, but so can other teams, right? Sure. Like other teams, like they won't be the only ones that sign people at the end here.
Sure.
So I think that the McLean commitment could have propelled Florida toward a top 5 class. In fact, would have put them at like 5 or 6.
Yeah,
it would have committed. So it'll be interesting to see if they can land other big fish that can get them up into that range.
Sure.
Because if they finish around 8, 9, 10, right? We just said Mullen's best class ever was 9. Mm-hmm. You fired Mullen for recruiting, and then if you finish the same, you need to improve. Yeah. And so now if he can get into that 6, even really 7 range, like, you know, one more or less, I feel like it's tough to make a huge deal about. Also, I will say this, just from class ratings in general, I do think the coaches care about what their class rating is from the perspective of sometimes, like, it's tied into the bonuses, it's tied into different award. At the same time, though, like, as fans, we care more about.
Oh, absolutely.
Coaches are recruiting for need. You know, like, you might have a class where you need to take more offensive linemen, and you might have a class where you can take more wide receivers, and wide receivers are just naturally going to have a higher rating. So it's like, you know, so we trip out over, oh, this class is 4 and this one was 6, and that's really not a huge difference. Like, 1 and 9 are big differences, right?
But
I think it'll be interesting to see. You know, Napier has done a good job of recruiting. He's got a good class, a very above average class. But if it doesn't improve from here and it just finishes in that 8 to 11 range, that's essentially what Mullen did every single year, right? Like, I don't think this is me bad-mouthing him terribly, and I don't think you would disagree with that. You've taken a step back and you're on the field coaching.
I think basically
stayed the same in recruiting. To me, that's a problem. Not year one. There's plenty of time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, I guess it's his bump class, right? Because it's the second class he'll sign, but he had so little time to kind of repair what was going on last year with recruiting, which he did. He did, he came in and did some work recruiting wise. And I think that this is going in his recruiting is trending really in a strong direction. I think it hurts to lose Cormani McClain, right? Like that is not something that we saw coming. It would
especially
have
when it
really
felt like it was in the bag.
It like, felt like it was felt in like the bag. It was and all
like,
of
I knew
general,
you were going to, I knew you were going to get on here today and gloat about that and not talk as much about the Georgia game. So I was already like, I had to spend an entire like 3 days, like getting my spin ready. I thought you guys were getting him too. Like,
yeah,
I mean, okay,
that's
well,
it. This
I'm going to tell Allie, like, let's focus on the results on the field. Let this kid hasn't signed yet. Like I had it all lined up.
Sure. Well, yeah, and honestly, that's my piece of advice for recruiting always. And I think recruiting is fun. I covered it for a lot of years, but until these guys perform on the field, it shouldn't really mean as much as it means to us fans. And I do think when you were talking about recruiting for need, I honestly think that was part of Urban Meyer's demise, is that Urban Meyer actually cared about winning a recruiting national title. That was something that like he talked to staffers about, that was well known within the football building. He cared about his class ranking. As a result, I think he took a lot of really highly rated pieces that didn't necessarily fit into the puzzle to sign those top classes. And I think towards the end of his tenure at UF, you kind of saw that. And I think that was part of the problem. And I think that, you know, Will Muschamp really came in to a lot of mismatched pieces. Like were the recruiting classes before him highly ranked? They were, but I don't know that that means that they fit together in any way that made sense at all. So I do think that that's a factor as well, right? You got to get the pieces in the puzzle that fit your system, even if they're not as highly rated. I do think that recruiting is trending in the right direction. I like what Napier's doing. I think next year will be even better. I think if he holds this class together with the record that Florida's probably going to end up with, that's impressive. And you and I have talked about that. Like you talked a couple weeks ago about how you thought they would start losing commits soon. And so far that isn't happening. There are a couple big names still out there that Florida is interested in. So they could go up. If I had to guess, I guess they finish 7 or 8. It would be where I realistically think Florida will end up. I think that would be great for where he is. I think the next year, the bar's higher. Right? Year three, you got to sign a top 5 class or you're not competing for national championships more than likely, you know, in years 4 and 5 for him.
Yeah,
so
what's interesting is, you know, Georgia's got the number 2 class right mm-hmm. now and has a shot to finish number 1.
Sure.
With Alabama. And so, you know, I know what's trendy on Twitter or social media or whatever is to just say like, well, he's out recruiting Florida State. And the standard is not to out recruit Florida State.
No,
right?
There's
no gap.
Top 5 class.
Right. There's no gap to close with Florida State. I mean, both teams have relatively correct. The same amount of talent on them.
Was that the case though? If you looked at the last 4 years average class, do they have about the same? I'm truly asking, not true.
Yeah, I think Florida's around 12 and Florida State's around 17.
I don't think that 12 and 17 are that close though.
In the scheme of 130 teams, you're talking about
Scheme of 130 teams, but you're just telling me that, you know, 8 and 9 isn't acceptable.
I think 12 and 17 are pretty close in all of college football. Like
in all of college football, but I don't know in terms of
if the number 12 team in college football right now took on the number 17 team, it'd be like a 3 or 4 point spread. Like I don't think we're talking about anything that's too crazy there.
But yet, it's crazy that an 8 is unacceptable, but 6 or 5 would be fine.
So I didn't say 8 was unacceptable. I just said it's basically the same thing Mullen was doing. Mm-hmm. So you guys are the ones that said 8 was unacceptable when Mullen was doing it year after year. I think 8 would be fine for Napier, especially if they go 6 and 6. Yeah. I think a top 8 class at going 6 and 6 is really impressive. Yeah. I don't think that's unacceptable. I think that Florida fans have said that top 8 classes are unacceptable. My coach hasn't gotten in the top 8 ever. So, yeah, I'd take top 8 right now without a doubt. But I think your Florida and Florida State are, as programs right now, somewhat similar. Florida State's going to finish with a better record, right? I mean, so, like, you know, if you want to say Florida has a little bit more talent and is doing less with it, I mean, whichever way you want to take that is fine. But again, Florida State's not a good team. Hasn't won a bowl in 5 years. Right. The standard is to get back to where Georgia's at. And if you have a top 7 or 8 class this year and Georgia finishes 1 or 2, I don't think you've closed the gap at all.
So
I think to close the gap with Georgia, you've got to recruit like Georgia. Yeah. Even if Florida went, if Florida had a had the number 5 class for the next 3 years, I don't even know if that would close the gap if Georgia's finishing 1 and 2 every single year.
So, you know, I understand what you're saying on paper, but I got to tell you, you know, when we watched that game together, and listen, Florida's not good, right? Like, I've not sat here and said that Florida is good for a lot of weeks, but I also don't really feel like the gap is that insurmountable or is that huge. I honestly walked away thinking Tennessee's going to beat Georgia, and Georgia is not Georgia's not this powerhouse that like we picture them being. And it could be that they didn't have a great day. Right. And I mean, I know they took care of a bad Florida team handily. I just didn't leave overly impressed by what I saw on the field from Georgia. Mm-hmm. And it kind of made me think that like not that many pieces of the puzzle away from it being a much more competitive game.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, you know, I think that you'll, you know, you can kind of, I mean, we can kind of transition this right into the talk about the game. But I think that for about 5 or 6 minutes, Florida looked like they could compete. But for the rest of the game,
third quarter, basically.
Yeah, I mean, a part of it, you know, a part of the third quarter. Georgia had 2 turnovers and Florida scored.
Georgia had 3 turnovers, I believe.
They did have 3 turnovers total. Yeah. They had a turnover in the first half. But they had 2 turnovers to start the second half, and Florida scored on both of those. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, the game was never in doubt or in question.
No, I don't think Georgia, it was in Georgia, doubt. That's not what
Georgia
I'm saying.
Georgia won the game by 3 scores and lost the turnover battle 3-0. So I do think that, like, self-inflicted Georgia wounds. Otherwise, that's a 5-score game. Otherwise, it's like,
I don't know. I just was like, eh, Stetson Bennett's not that great. Eh, his wide receivers keep dropping balls. Eh. I mean, I just, when Anthony Richardson played the game that he's capable of being, they had no problem moving the ball on Georgia. I'm not sitting here telling you that that game was close or that 1 or 2 bounces going a different way that Florida's beating Georgia. I'm just telling you that I walked away less impressed with Georgia than I was going into the game.
Yeah, I think if Georgia loses a turnover battle 3-0 against most teams, they're going to play closer than they should.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the fact that they could go up against an SEC opponent.
But also, we watched that together. Some of those turnovers, those were not fluky. I mean, Florida.
I thought the interception was terrible. Like, he just wasn't even close. I mean,
that was a great strip. That was a great strip. That was not a just random ball bounce kind of thing.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good strip.
Yeah. And then the first turnover of the game, I don't remember what that one was. I don't remember. Honestly. In the first half.
Yeah, but when Florida, 7 children running around us.
But yeah, I mean, Georgia didn't play a very good game, lost the turnover battle 3-0, and then still won by 22. So, yeah. I guess it's how you look at it. If they would have played a good game, and that score was probably, 56-10? You know, you take the two turnovers away and let Georgia score off of them. So, I don't know. I think that
17
Tennessee,
unanswered points is not nothing, right? And turnovers, whatever. 17 unanswered points is, that is something. And Georgia has struggled, with some turnovers this season. And I just walked away. Listen, it doesn't change the outcome of the game. It doesn't change anything. I won't be surprised if Tennessee beats Georgia this upcoming weekend. I won't be surprised if, let's say they somehow make it to the SEC championship game. Let's say they beat Tennessee. Won't be surprised if Alabama takes care of business against them. I was not as impressed with them as I was for the Tennessee team that we played, or whatever some of the other teams that Florida has seen. But
you were more impressed by the team that beat you by 5 as opposed to the team that beat you by 22.
Yes, because I think Florida played a much better game against Tennessee, and Tennessee was still better.
Yeah,
Florida didn't play a good game against Georgia.
Yeah, I think Georgia played. I mean, but don't you think Georgia played a pretty bad game?
I mean, honestly, I guess. I mean, I don't know. There was just nothing that was just like, oh man, that is. It doesn't matter what we did. We were not stopping that. Whereas I felt like there was stuff like that in the Tennessee game.
Yeah, I thought Georgia just absolutely moved the ball at will. Like I thought, like Georgia just, and their offense hasn't even been spectacular. Yeah. But drives of 66 yards, 80 yards, 83 yards, 54 yards.
I mean, we knew they were going to move yards, the ball at 49. Will, right? Everybody's moved the ball at will. I don't know that that's a. I don't know that that is a indicator of a great team then, when you play Florida. I almost think your defense is a better indicator when you play Florida. But regardless, to eye test me, Tennessee is better. We'll find out this weekend because they play each other.
So how many? So what? So you know, not super impressed with Georgia right now. What does if Georgia continues to recruit at a 1-2-3 level?
Yeah.
How is Florida able to close the gap if they don't out recruit them?
I mean, Florida
Do you think Napier's a better? This is a good follow up to that. Do you think Napier's a better game day coach than Smart?
I do. I don't think Kirby Smart's a great game day coach. Honestly. Let me preface this. I have not been overly impressed with Napier's game day calling for us this season.
I don't even have him.
Looking back at film from previous teams, I have been more impressed with Napier as a game day coach. I think.
But at Florida.
His potential. He hasn't been better than Kirby Smart. Yeah, no, he has not been. But I don't think that Kirby Smart is that great of a game day coach. I think that Kirby Smart is a brilliant recruiter. So I do think that there is a scenario where you've got a recruiter at Florida who's recruiting, let's say, almost as good as Kirby Smart, let's say in the 5-7 range. I think a good game day coach still beats Georgia and Kirby Smart once they've had some of those 5-7 classes. So do I think they have to beat Georgia recruiting-wise to be able to beat them on the field? No, I don't think that. Dan Mullen beat them with less recruiting 2 years ago. I don't think that you have to sign 1 and 2 classes. Will it help? Sure as heck. But if you can sign in the 5-7 range and you can be a good game day coach, you can beat Kirby Smart.
I haven't seen Napier be a good game day coach yet at Florida.
And yeah, coaching
at Louisiana is very different, especially with the amount of, like, if you look at what his teams, which again, the teams that he had there, were what Georgia is.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
He's not an X's and O's guy. He's a recruiter. The teams he had at Louisiana are what Kirby's teams are to Florida and the rest of the SEC right now.
Well,
so,
I mean, it kind of reminds me, right? And I would love if Napier hired an offensive coordinator. I don't know if that will happen. It is very common for offensive minded head coaches to call their own plays. So it's not like there's something, out of the ordinary going on at Florida. But I don't 100% love the play calling that's been going on. I think it's definitely worth giving him more of an opportunity with more of his pieces in place. But I wouldn't cry if he tells us in the offseason that he's hiring an offensive coordinator, right? That would not.
We also make a lot about Kirby's game day coaching. And I think what we've done is, when Mullen was there, we would put Mullen up against Jimbo, two guys that called offenses. Now we put Kirby up against Mullen. Now, I don't know how long the guys stick around, but Kirby's done a really good job of his coordinators, right? Like having Muschamp and Munkin. Uh-huh. Like, I don't think Kirby's very much CEOing that thing and doing it well.
I mean, Saban, really, right?
And Sweeney and most of the guys that are pretty successful right now. Like, look at Jimbo's problems. He won't give up the offensive stuff. And so – to me, that's another thing.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's a sign of a great head coach, right?
Kirby
doesn't have to be a good CEO.
Game day coach because he's got coordinators that are absolutely
good. But I'm not overly impressed with the play calling that happens during the game of Georgia. So when you say game day coach, I mean, that can fall on whoever's head you're talking about. I don't think that Georgia is awesome at making adjustments mid-game. I don't think that they come out of the locker room. You saw how they came out of the locker room against Florida in the third quarter. I don't think that they make the adjustments like some of the greats do, like Saban generally does when they come out of the locker room at halftime, when Urban Meyer used to do.
Do you think they adjusted well when Florida cut it to one score?
Yeah, I mean, but I also think Florida shot themselves in the foot a lot. They're a bad team. They shouldn't have been this close. I don't think they should have had to adjust to come back from down by 17. But, you know, they did what they needed to do, right? And they won the game, and they won the game handily. I'm just saying, overall, I'm less impressed with Kirby than some of the other ones. Therefore, I do think you maybe don't have to do quite as much in recruiting that you think you are. I don't think you have to beat them. I just think you kind of have to join them in the top echelon.
Yeah. I think that recruiting, again, you know, going over the top with recruiting rankings as far as like, you know, I mean, you could recruit 1 through 3 and be pretty similar.
Sure.
I do think like 1 and 8 are pretty different classes, and 1 and 7 are fairly different classes. Like, I don't know if you're closing the gap by consistently doing that. Right.
Yeah, I think there's other factors at play there, but I think you need to get a good statement.
You truly do need to get into the top 5.
Yeah. I think that's a fair assessment.
And you can get an upset. Like you just said, Mullen did it 1 year with 3 guys that were basically first rounders with Trask and Tony and Pitts. Like you can catch people. Like, that's not to say
I don't think Florida caught people. I think they beat Georgia handily.
I'm saying you can catch them.
Okay. All right. I thought you were saying you can catch them on an off day, kind of thing, which is not what happened.
No. But a year, like, I think Florida, everything kind of aligned really well for Florida that year to be a really good team. Like,
Florida had a good team. They had some good talent.
But they hadn't recruited as for a lot of but they hadn't recruited as well as Georgia.
No, they hadn't.
But they did catch them that year, less talented on paper. But they were better than them. They were just absolutely better.
Yes.
And that's going to – if you recruit way less than your rival, that's exactly what it's going to be. You're going to win 1 of every 4.
Yeah.
Like, more talented teams just win. I mean, what do you always say? It's about the Jimmys and Joes, right? Mm-hmm. Less talented teams are going to win less, right?
Yeah.
So, Texas A&M this weekend, and then we'll move to Florida State. We'll do some picks and get out of here. But Texas A&M this weekend – they look like they may have figured something out with a true freshman quarterback. Jimbo does a really good job of just beating UF, no matter what the situation is. Do you have any hope for this game? Like,
I mean, honestly, I think there's a chance.
But.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Florida should beat Texas A&M. Does that mean that they do? No, but I think that Florida should beat Texas A&M. I think that they should win. I think Texas A&M is about a 3.5-point favorite, which is basically home field advantage, right? So I think that this game is a push. I think it could definitely go either way, but I think that Florida should beat them. They both had a fair share of struggles on the field. I don't know what's been going on in Texas A&M's locker room, but they've had some dismissals. They've had some crazy things going on. But like you said, they seem to figure it out a little bit last week, which I feel like always happens. This is only Florida's second like true road test of the year. So you'll see how that, you know, kind of factors in as well. But I think that Florida has the ability to beat Texas A&M.
Yeah, I don't. I think they lose. I think they lose bad. I'm sorry.
You think they lose bad?
I think that you guys are kind of unlucky that you're so Florida's defense, I think just the matchup is not good. Texas A&M's defense has been really good this year, and so I do think that they'll slow down Florida's offense. And Florida's defense is literally second worst in the SEC. Like, just awful, right?
Texas A&M gave up 390 yards rushing to Ole Miss last week. Florida has a stable of running backs. If you had to pick one position that Florida is the most comfortable with,
They got one that touches the ball every play. So, I mean, I get it. But, I think that A&M will outscore them. I just think that Florida's defense is just so bad. A&M getting the young kid in. Wegman, I don't know how to say
it. Wegman, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that he looked pretty good once he got in.
338 yards, 20 to 44.
Yeah. Florida's defense would make Emerson look good at quarterback. No shots at her. But I do think that A&M probably gets the win this weekend. I don't have a lot of faith in Florida's defense. Florida's defense is very, very boomer bust, right? Yeah, so if they can kind of, you know, if they can create some turnovers, I think Jimbo will call it very conservatively and let – see, that's the thing. So, you know, no bones about it. Like, Georgia's just that much better of a team that I don't think Kirby had to be conservative with it. I do think Jimbo will be conservative and try and let AR and the Florida team make the mistakes on the road. And I don't – Kirby knew that he could lose a turnover battle by three and still win the game by three touchdowns, right? Jimbo knows that he can't do that, right? If his freshman goes out there and makes mistakes and turns the ball over to Florida, they'll lose. And so I do think that, again, as much as Jimbo's been an issue this year, I think there's something about playing Florida. I do think he's a much better game day coach than Napier is right now. And so we'll see kind of how he plays it. But if I'm Jimbo, I play very conservatively. Let Florida be the one to make mistakes. And I think that Florida's defense ultimately is what cost them the game here. I don't think it's a blowout, but I think that A&M wins by like 10 or so.
You know, I don't think that Texas A&M's defense has been as good as you are saying that they have been. I think obviously their offense figured out something last week, but it didn't even really matter because their defense wasn't good enough and Ole Miss ended up beating them. I think I was just trying to pull up where they ranked. I guess they figured it out. So these numbers are going to change, but they're 14th in the SEC in scoring. They're averaging 23 points a game. They're 12th in rushing. They're 12th in passing offense. They're 11th in total offense, which honestly is pretty comparable with where Florida's defense is. Florida is 11th in scoring defense. They're averaging 29 points, giving up 29 points a game, 12th in rushing defense, 12th in pass efficiency D, and 12th in total defense. So their defensive numbers are incredibly similar to Texas A&M's offensive numbers.
So looking at defense for defense, Texas A&M has the 24th best defense as far as opponent adjusted, like FPI. Florida's is 86th. So just defense for defense,
right?
Like Florida's is pretty terrible. And I just think that's the weakest unit on the field. When you look at the offense for both teams, they are closer than that. Florida's in the 30s. A&M's in the 40, I think that Florida's defense is the weakest unit on the field, and I think that's why they lose. And that's why they've lost every game that they've, you know, gone against.
Yeah, I mean, well, most losses are definitely on the defense. You know, and Florida also is going to be without Britton Cox, which we haven't talked about yet on this episode, but he was dismissed from the team on Monday. Napier said in his press conference, a culmination of things, decisions or happenings in the locker room or whatever. I've heard a couple different conflicting stories, not going to say them because I don't know that to be fact, but I kind of think this is addition by subtraction, but it may make a difference on Saturday, right? I think it's in the long run, it's the right choice for the team. I think that good coaches and CEOs make tough decisions, even if it's not at ideal timing, for the long-term betterment of the team, of the organization. But it might have an impact Saturday because there's not a whole lot of time to get somebody ready to take Britton Cox reps in 6 days. Yeah. So I will be interested to see how that plays a factor. And, you know, we've talked about him on this show a lot. I have not been a fan this season. I actually wasn't a fan last year either. I think he has a really high ceiling. And I think that every, you know, few plays, he makes a good play. I think he takes three or four plays off in between those good plays. And so I don't know, you know, the huge long, I don't know what positives he really brought, because I think that the taking plays off kind of balance out with the big plays that you made. I didn't love that he got to wear number one either. I think we've gotten into a situation where that gets given out like candy, and, you know, any of us like old people here know what it means to wear that jersey of number one. And so didn't love that it was handed out so easily, but I do think that that could be another negative against the Gators on Saturday.
Yeah. Led the team in tackles for losses, was second in sacks.
Florida's had like almost no sacks this year. So I don't know how much that's saying, but
in the UF-FSU game last year, he had four sacks and five tackles for losses. So he was definitely a we're definitely glad to see him go. At least because of that matchup.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And, I tip my hat to Napier for making that decision. Like I said, I don't know exactly what went on, but it's not an easy decision to dismiss someone who has the same kind of name recognition, has been the impact player, which, I mean, Florida's defense has been terrible, right? But he's been one of the better players on a terrible defense this year. And I think you can say the same thing about last year, too. So not every coach would make that decision. And I do think that it's important, especially for new coaches, to, kind of lay the hammer down and say what's acceptable or not acceptable in your locker room. And with whatever he did wasn't acceptable, then this is the right call for the health of your locker room next year and the year after and down the line. But it could hurt us in the short term.
Probably. Yeah. I think I actually listened to a podcast, and we'll talk about FSU and do some picks and get out of here. But I listened to a podcast this week that was talking about how when Norvell got here, you can either I'm not blaming Napier or saying he should have done this sooner, but Norvell was, the COVID year was definitely a curse in recruiting, couldn't bring guys in, but it was kind of a blessing in how quickly it was able to allow him to gut the roster.
Yeah.
And instead of this slow bleed where you have a few guys transfer out when Napier gets the job, and then you have a few guys transfer out after the spring, and then you have a few guys transfer out after year one, and then Norvell literally just went like, whoosh, whoosh, you're out, like, boom, all of it was gone, and it cost us, right? We won three games in 2020, and then we only won five the year after, and so you had to, kind of fight through that and grow back through that. But right now, the culture of the locker room, where the locker room's head is, the fact that they, as bad as they've been the last couple of years, Florida State absolutely fights. They never quit. They never give up. There are no, there's no toxicity. There's none of this bull crap that you're kind of dealing with that you would have if some of that slow bleed had been allowed to happen. And so would Florida State maybe have two or three, maybe four more wins in Norvell's tenure had he not done that? Yes. Would the locker room be in as good of a place today as it is? Probably not. So anyway, you'll probably have 20 new guys on, between.
Oh, there'll be a lot of attrition. And
there will be 35 guys that are not on the roster next year.
100%. And that's a common thing. I think back to when Muschamp came to UF and trying to think of who it was that got caught, I want to say with pot or something or whatever. And Muschamp told him, you can either, be suspended for this or you can be gone or whatnot. And the player said Urban Meyer would never make a decision like this. And Muschamp was like, well, not Urban Meyer's team. You're gone, buddy. And Urban Meyer, though, his very first year at UF, Marcus Thomas, he was a D lineman who was, I want to say he eventually went first round, but he was an all SEC player, huge stud. Florida's national championship season gets kicked off halfway through. But it's the same concept, right? New coaches kind of have to clear some of the cancer out of the locker room. And I say that when I say the word cancer, that's probably too strong of a word, but if you're not 100% bought in, this is not the place for you, especially when you're trying to bring about change, right? Bring about culture change, bring about, attitude change, buy-in. You got to get rid of the guys that are not 100% on your side. It was Janoris Jenkins, by the way. Janoris Jenkins is who Muschamp kicked off.
Florida finishes with a couple of, just the way the ESPN sees it, pretty tough one this weekend. Give Florida about a 35% chance to win. Give them about a 65% chance to beat South Carolina, and then even higher, it's up in like the low 80s, maybe high 70s to beat Vandy. And then they've got them at about, same thing, 32, 33% to beat Florida. I have Florida going 6-6 to finish the year. I do think that they lose this weekend. I think they win the next two, and then I think they do fall to Florida State. The one thing I will say is that if Anthony Richardson goes off, he is a very hard player to just take down. He can do really, really spectacular things. Yeah. He'll be the difference in the Florida State game. If Florida wins that game, I think it's because Anthony Richardson just goes completely berserk and just, does really, really special things. So to me, Florida's looking at 7-5, 6-6. Is that where you have it? 7-5, 6-6. Like, I mean, you're not thinking they go 4-0. Just
no, I don't think they go 4-0. I think that 3-1 would be, you know,
great.
Great. Yeah.
I think that'd be really good. I think that'd be good. Like, that's not even, yeah, I think that'd be really
I think 3-1 would be great. I think it, I don't, I, 4-1 would be obviously, or 4-0, excuse me, would obviously be spectacular. I don't think it's likely. I think 3-1 is more reasonable. I think 2-2 is a possibility. But I'm interested to see how they come out of the locker room on Saturday, because I know you disagree, but I do think that this is a team that can and should beat Texas A&M. It does not mean that they do, but I think that they are capable of it. But I do think there's a scenario where if you lose and you just, you've gotten in this just rut of loss after loss, that there's a possibility you then lose to South Carolina. And then you're looking at, I think you beat Vandy either way, but then you're coming into a rivalry week against Florida State, who at that point will be a better team if Florida has lost to Texas A&M and then lost to South Carolina. So I do, like, you kind of see what you're made of when you stack these losses up on each other. Are you still bought in? Are you still giving 100% effort all the time? It's hard to convince a team to continue to fight when you are sitting where they're sitting.
So we can, I agree, like, in the overall, I don't think they're as good as A&M. Like, I do think A&M should beat them. I think they will, but you're right. Like, I think that, you know, it could either go really, really positively. You could beat A&M and then beat South Carolina and then beat Vandy. And then you're playing that Florida State game for a chance to get to 8 wins, and win or lose there, I think you still feel pretty good about finishing 3-1. Mm-hmm. But you lose to A&M, I actually think it's going to be easier for the Gators to get up for the A&M game, because you're on the road, 100,000 people. Like, that's going to be an exciting – if you lose that one and you're sitting at, what, at that point, 4-5, well, what will the record be? 4-6?
Four and five.
You're sitting at 4-5. You're coming back home to play South Carolina. Who knows what the crowd – like, that's probably not a sellout.
Right.
Are you up for that game? Like, do you let that one loss turn into two? Because if you lose to South Carolina, you're not making a bowl, right? Like, I think we'd all say, like, Florida State's probably going to win that game. I mean, rivalries are weird. Anything can happen.
Sure.
But then at that point, who knows? So,
yeah.
All right, let's do this real quick. And then we spent most of the time on Florida. It was more fun to talk about your misery than my my team being or finding a way to win. Florida State, I mean, there's not a lot to say. Florida State absolutely dominated Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. Went about like I thought it would. Florida State started a little slower than I expected. Had a couple of first quarter turnovers that screwed up potential scoring drives. Drove inside the 30, dropped a ball on 4th-and-3, drove inside the 1, fumbled a ball, but then from there just absolutely dominated, never looked back. And I thought Florida State would beat this team like they beat Boston College. And they did. Final score was 41-16, so 25 points. Boston College scored on the final play of the game with the scrubs in. Otherwise, it would have been 41-10. So hats off to Boston College for fighting hard until the very end. Oh, I'm sorry, Georgia Tech for fighting hard until the very end. But yeah, I just – this is exactly how I thought it would go down. It did. Florida State looked – good outside of the couple of turnovers early. In fact, I believe Florida State scored on their last 5 drives of the game, 2 in the first half and then 3 in the second half, and did a pretty good job in this game. Big one against Miami this weekend, who's took 4 overtimes to get to 14 points. Do you you think Florida State beats Miami? I know you've gone back and forth on this year.
Yeah, I have, but I think Florida State beats Miami. I think that today Florida State is a better team than Miami. I honestly think there's a chance it's not close.
I agree. I think we win by 14.
Yeah. I think you might win by more.
I could see it. Yeah. I just think Miami's terrible. So
I do too.
And
Florida State can score, and Florida State's trending in the right direction. So, I mean, I honestly think that there's a great chance it's like 35-17, 35-10, something like that.
I could see it. If Van Dyke plays, I think it could be a little closer. There's been some rumors that he may be back. If he doesn't, it will be a blowout. Like it will be 42-10 or something really bad. I think Norvell will run it up. He remembers 2020 when he wasn't able to go. And Miami ran it up. I think he'll run it up. I think this would be one that you keep your foot on the gas on this one. Okay, picks real quick. I've also got my Florida State winning that one. But we both got Penn State covered against Ohio State, though the Buckeyes won. We both got West Virginia. I'm sorry, we both got TCU over West Virginia. I got Notre Dame. You got Syracuse. I got UGA. You got UF. I got Florida State. You got Georgia Tech. I went 3-0 through those. You did get both Louisville and I got that one right. Sorry. I almost gave you one, but I have to take it away. Sorry for that. I took Missouri. You took South Carolina. Sorry that this – I've got to deduct a point from you. And then we both took Ole Miss to beat A&M. You went 4-4 on the week. I went 7-1. That's week so far.
What was your one?
The one that I missed, you got Louisville.
Florida covered against Georgia.
No, it was 22.5. 22.5? Yeah. Oh, you're right. Okay. All right. We'll back that up.
Okay. Back that up. Yes.
All right. So then where we are. I went 6-2. You went 5-3. I'm 42-24. You're 36-30. You got to get with it a little bit.
Okay. Liberty is. Yeah. You know. Now I need to go back and analyze all of the previous weeks of this because who knows how many of these you've just been sliding these in and I haven't double checked you and here we are.
Liberty is a 13.5 point underdog to Arkansas. I'll take Liberty, but I don't feel good.
I'll take Arkansas, even though I also don't feel good.
Florida State 7.5 against Miami. I'll take Florida State.
Florida State.
Kentucky's 1.5 at Missouri.
I'll take Kentucky.
I'll take Missouri just to keep it interesting. I have no feel there. I think Kentucky sucks, by the way. Texas A&M. I'll take Texas A&M.
I'll take Florida.
3.5, but just for what it's worth. I'll take UGA -8.5. You can have Tennessee. I know you
I'll take
it.
Tennessee. I do.
I'll take LSU +13.5 against Alabama. I think Alabama wins, but I do think LSU is better than they're getting credit for. So give me LSU here.
I honestly think LSU is too, but give me Alabama. I got
Clemson -4 at Notre Dame. I'll take Notre Dame here. I think Clemson wins, but give me Notre Dame. That line screams like crap. So
all right, I'll take Clemson.
All right, I'm late to another podcast, so I'm ready to go. But Excited for another week where my team wins and your team loses. So fingers crossed for that. We'll talk to you guys next time. Shout out Brun Insurance. Go Noles.
Go Gators.